O God, strengthen our weak hands, make firm our feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. Amen. For the past year and a half, the men from our parish have gathered on a monthly basis at the Corner Bakery on PCH in Redondo Beach to share coffee and food and good conversation. We call ourselves Amen's Corner, pun intended. While our monthly groups range in size from a few to over a dozen, the one thing that we have all appreciated and enjoyed each and every time has been the opportunity to talk among ourselves, to learn about each other through stories, and to ask each other questions. Last Wednesday, we shared stories about our favorite Christmases and family traditions. I also told them that I was preaching today and asked them to name the most important questions they have ever asked or heard. While what usually happens at Amen's Corner stays at Amen's Corner, the guys told me I could share their responses, and in turn, I promised not to mention any names. There was quick agreement that years ago, asking our spouses to marry us was indeed a big-time question, and the answer even more so. Then one person said that when making decisions, he often asked for signs from God to help him make the decision. He said that this has forced him to focus on keenly looking and listening for the signs, those nudges from God. We were inspired by his faith. Then another person said that the biggest question he frequently asks, and for which often there is no clear answer, is why. Why do things happen that make no sense? In light of the number of shootings around our country in the past few weeks alone, natural disasters like the recent eruption of the deadly volcano in New Zealand, and last year's devastating Paradise Fire. And any time a child dies, why is indeed a valid and necessary question to ask. We do not always get complete answers to our questions, but we keep asking. Questions can inspire us and make us think to the depth of our souls. A question can live with us for years and years. In today's gospel, on this, the third Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist and Jesus engage in a question and answer exchange that compels us to focus on the questions we ask and the answers we seek. As many of you may know, when Paula, Jude, and I sat down to plan our sermon themes for Advent, we were struck by how many Advent descriptors we used that began with the letter A. On the first Sunday of Advent, Jude proclaimed that Advent is full of fabulous A words like awake, alert, arise, aware, attention, and anticipation. She prayed that God will awaken us. And then on the second Sunday of Advent, Paula, and asking us how we shall wait for Jesus, challenged us to be active in our hope, aware, and alert, and to always trust that God is able. On this, the third Sunday in Advent, let us explore the value of asking questions, always striving for answers, and accepting that this is meant to be a lifelong process. Or as the Bohemian Austrian poet and novelist Rainer Maria Wilke once wrote, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. So let's live the question now. Perhaps you will then gradually. So let's live the question now, for it is my belief that in wrestling with our questions, we are better equipped to seek and hopefully receive the answers. So why did John send his disciples to ask Jesus the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? Wait a second. I bet we're thinking the same thing. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He was there and witnessed it all. For in the Gospel of Matthew it is written, and when Jesus had been baptized, he came up from the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. There's no way that John forgot the baptism and all that unfolded. So what happened? What prompted John's question? Some scholars say that it's because Jesus did not match John's expected idea of a fire and brimstone Messiah. Right before he baptized Jesus, John said to the people, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John was expecting a different Jesus, one who first and foremost would judge the world. There may be times in our lives when we too find ourselves expecting a different Jesus. Perhaps in the midst of pain and anguish, or during those times when we truly feel we are alone. Life can be hard, and we too might find ourselves asking, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? How could we ever ask such a question? Well, we might simply say we're human, and so was John. But there are times that all of us, including John, need assurance that Jesus is our one and only deliverer. So we ask the question. Other scholars contend that John asked the question in order to point the way forward for John's disciples to follow Jesus. Or as Martin Luther once said, John did not come in order to make disciples and draw the people to himself, but to prepare the way for Christ and to make all the people subject to him, so that from now on they might learn not only from the witness he bore of Christ, but also from the works and words and deeds of Christ himself, that he was the one of whom John had spoken. John leads his disciples and us to Jesus, so that we all may be the person God wants us to be through Christ. Our Christian journey is not always easy. It can be fraught with self-doubt, challenges, and even questions of who we really are in this life. For every three steps we take forward, there are times when we immediately take two steps backwards. Yet through it all, we belong to Christ. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously wrote in part from prison 1 month before he was executed during World War II, who am I, this or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Am I both at once? A hypocrite before others and before myself, a contemptibly woebegone weakling. Who am I? They mock me, these lowly questions of mine. Whoever I am, I knowest, O God, I am thine. Yes, through his question, John the Baptist helped lead his disciples and all of us to Jesus. And in so doing, helps us realize who we are and whose we are. Followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Or as the Franciscan friar and spiritual writer Richard Rohr said, when you get your who am I question right, all of your what should I do questions tend to take care of themselves. So what should we do with Jesus' answer to John's question? Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? Jesus answered, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Notice that Jesus does not give a definitive yes to John's question. We should be used to Jesus' often indirect response to questions through the use of parables, questions themselves, and even non-answers. On his way to the cross, Jesus stood before Pilate. The governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. In today's gospel, John's disciples heard Jesus deliver the Sermon on the Mount and witnessed Jesus' healing miracles. Furthermore, Jesus' answer speaks directly to the messianic signs of Jesus' coming, as he foretold in Isaiah. Jesus is our past, our present, and our future. We realize that the one we are waiting for to come in the future is healing those in the present, and in so doing is fulfilling the prophetic proclamations of the past. Still, we find ourselves in need of growing into Jesus' answer, and in so doing, growing in our faith. Jesus' answer allows us to live in the mystery of the holy and ask John and each of us to expand our understanding of who Jesus is, especially when our prayer request might seem to go unanswered. Or as New Testament professor David Holwerda said, it is always the miracles that Jesus does not perform for us that easily form a stumbling block for faith. Thus, the importance of Jesus' blessing to all who take no offense at Jesus and who can in full faith acknowledge that he is the Messiah, the one we waited for in the past and the one for whom we wait to come again. Let us recall the words of Rainer Maria Rilke, and the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Amen.